The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. My goodness. The big breaking news this morning. Bernie Sanders has dropped out of the presidential race. That means we're all going to have to write in Sawant's name now. But we got a lot of other important stuff to get to this afternoon. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
And I would like to start today with a personal message to high school seniors and their parents, for that matter. Because I've talked a lot the last few days on my show about the sympathy that I feel for these kids. Because springtime of senior year was my favorite memory of K through 12. Springtime at Ballard High School. Oh, man. If you haven't seen Ballard in the spring, you haven't seen Ballard. So it was a great time, you know, senior skip day and all your classmates sign your yearbook. I still pull out my yearbook once in a while, read all the stuff that people wrote. But kids aren't going to go to prom, aren't going to have a graduation ceremony, most likely. If you're in extracurriculars, no final band concert or drama production. If you're in spring sports, you don't get the joy of that, you know, baseball or track or girls tennis final season. I feel sympathy for this evil virus hitting at such an important time in your lives. But here's what I've been seeing the last couple of days taking over. Sympathy is okay, but be very careful about all the pity that is being heaped in your direction. Or maybe that you're, you know, feeling yourself, the pity. Because it's everywhere. I'm seeing maudlin posts. I'm hearing from people who are just, you know, so piteous for these kids and what they're missing out on. And what I would encourage you, if you're a high school senior, ask your mom about her Facebook friends. Because I guarantee she knows lots of people who mainly post about, and I'm not just talking during coronavirus. This is how they've always posted for years now. They mainly post about just something bad that's happening in their life. You know, that they are sick, that their kids are sick, their husband's sick, that they're stressed out. And then they make those posts for one reason. So all of their, you know, so-called Facebook friends can, you know, give them their phony responses. Oh, thinking of you. Hey, beautiful. Be strong. Sending love your way. Just all this phony stuff. And your mom has probably unfollowed those people who are just on Facebook so that they can gather pity. Because it's just not a very appealing way to go through life. Because if you are a high school senior, while I do have sympathy for you right now, I have sympathy for everything, all the events you're going to miss, I do not have pity for you. In fact, it's the very opposite. I envy you. I envy you for what lies ahead in your life. I've posted all this on My Northwest because my feelings are so strong about this. If you want to go check it out. But I envy your youth and the life adventures that are to come, going off to college, traveling with people you love, seeing the wonders of our world, starting a career. Oh, That moment on a first date when you first realize I could spend the rest of my life with this person. Or that first kiss with that person. You kidding me? That's still ahead. For the person, yeah, I know most of you have probably already kissed somebody. I'm talking about the person you think you might spend the rest of your life with. Climbing the professional ladder. Do you know how exhilarating that is? To set a goal and then to just by dint of your hard work and perseverance to reach that goal, to realize your dreams. Maybe you'll have kids someday. You know what it's like to have a kid sitting in a high chair and you're feeding that baby and the baby starts to fall asleep while you've got the spoon in his or her mouth? Do you know how cute that is? That's ahead for you. Hearing your baby laugh for the first time? That's the soundtrack of heaven right there. And in the years to come, if you have kids, and a lot of people have very rich, rewarding lives without kids as well, but you'll coach your kids, you'll watch them in the school play, and who knows, maybe 25 or 30 years from now, you'll see them in a graduation ceremony that you were never able to experience. Because all those things I just mentioned, those are all in my rearview mirror right now. They're all ahead for you. So yeah, I have great sympathy for what coronavirus is taking from you. And sympathy is fine. Pity is ridiculous. Because the next 60 to 70 years will blow your mind. And my main message here is don't be a victim. Okay, that's what I posted at My Northwest just in the last half hour or so, if you want to go check it out. So why did I post that? Because I think we're in a dangerous place and time right now. I really do. This culture of victimization, it's out of control. And it begins in our schools, where they start teaching kids in kindergarten. I mean, this is just absolutely a mindset that's taught in the schools, that you're a victim. You're a victim because of your gender or your race or your religion or your family's background, whatever. You're a victim. And it is we're designed for reasons that I will never fathom to try to put as many people in the victim class as possible. And, I mean, I guess I fathom the reason. Because if you're a victim, then nothing's your fault. And certainly, you're, you know, coronavirus, if you're a high school senior and missing out on all these things, that's not your fault. But you have absolute control over how you come through this and how you're going to deal with it. Victims don't have that mentality. Victims just always say, I never had a chance. Never had a chance. Didn't have a dad. Dad was an alcoholic, grew up dirt poor. I just never had a chance. So why should I try? I'll just say if the government will give me $15 an hour and ensure that, which is why I think we're trying to create as many victims as possible. Because then the more you say, I can't do this, I'm a victim, then you need government's help. And that's why I think that's the message that's being taught for 13 years in the schools. And I just hear that permeate in almost every aspect of the coronavirus coverage, which has just gotten so horribly depressing because I think many in the media, especially at the national level, they have a storyline and they need to make things as dire as possible. And what we're not hearing is that, you know, the UW analysis that is considered the gold standard that they've talked about at the White House coronavirus task force briefings. It's called the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. It was way off, apparently. Way high. Now, things could still flare up. I'm not saying it's time to run out of the house and start getting back to life as it was a month ago. Maybe the mitigation's working better, even though it was built into the model. Maybe it's working better than they anticipated. I don't know. But at both the national and most state levels, it's not as bad as it's been made out to be or projected by the gold standard of models that they're using for all of this. But we're going to hear about every celebrity who dies. John Prine, the talented musician, the latest one. And not enough people are talking about that. The numbers are coming in low. But regardless of all of this, we got to control how we come through this as best we can. Now, if you're losing your business, I mean, these are things that, you know, feel out of control right now. I understand that. And certainly if you've lost a loved one, that's something you could not control. But for things like our high school seniors, they can't control this. It's not going to change. Pity's not going to change anything. Sympathy, fine. I feel the sympathy. I really do. I feel bad for them. But we got to get away from pity and victimization for people who have a billion times more blessings than curses, which is many of us, maybe even most of us. There are some people who, you know, if you've lost somebody you love, your curses outweigh your blessings right now. I understand that. But I'm tired of the pity. I'm just tired of it. Let's focus on the amazing things. I hate using the word amazing. Sound like my daughters now. But think about just the fantastic things that are yet to come and that you will have control over and that this is temporary. And if I'm talking about the people who haven't lost somebody. But if this is the greatest trial of your lifetime, you will have lived a pretty blessed life. And, you know, hopefully for business owners, for employees who are out of work, that we will as a nation. And, you know, again, the federal government is doing some fantastic things to try to get money in the hands of businesses and individuals. And by the way, our state is still doing nothing for the business and unemployed communities. Let's get to our next story here in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Jay Inslee had a press conference during my show yesterday, and I went crazy coming out of it because I enjoy processing numbers rather quickly. And when Jay Inslee announced what he is going to do for the people, the businesses in our state that are hurting so badly. President Trump yesterday announced he's going to ask Congress for an additional $250 billion to help out small businesses. What is Jay Inslee going to do here in Washington?
Therefore, we're opening the application process for an emergency $5 million grant program to help small businesses who've been impacted by COVID-19.
$5 million grant program. $5 million. As I told you yesterday, we have a $52 billion state budget. $5 million represents 9/1000th of 1% of our state budget. I mean, that's a number so infinitesimal that it's almost impossible to comprehend something that tiny. 9/1000th of 1%. That's what Jay Inslee is going to do for businesses in our state. And so after my show yesterday, I started gathering some numbers. Some great listeners were weighing in on this. We have about 609,000 small businesses in Washington, most of them self-proprietorships, but many of them employ, you know, 10 or fewer people. 609,000 small businesses that employ 1.4 million people. So if you took Jay Inslee's $5 million that he's loosening up from the state coffers, that works out to about $8 for every small business in Washington. Hey, how many months more will you stay open if Jay Inslee gives you $8? It works out to about $3.50 per employee. Now, they're not going to spread it among all 609,000 businesses. He said that it's going to be smaller.
The grants will provide up to $10,000 for small businesses that have under 10 employees. And businesses can use this money to pay rent, utility bills, supplies, inventory.
Okay, so up to $10,000 per small business. So if every one of the grant recipients gets $10,000, that would be 500 small businesses that would be helped out by our benevolent governor. 500. What about the other 608,500 businesses, Mr. Governor? Jay Inslee still has about $300 million in a rainy day fund for the homeless. And I would suggest that maybe in times of an economic crisis, Mr. Governor, you should reallocate the $300 million that you were going to give to the homeless. You know, we still need to provide services for those on the street. But right now, you got an economy that's in danger of crumbling. We could shrink as much as 30%. According to some analysts, our state GDP is $114 billion. And there are some analysts who believe we could take a 30% hit in state GDP. The only thing that would make sense for the governor would be to say, well, our state budget is $52 billion. I will cut the size of government, not 30%, but 20%. I'll cut $10 billion from state government, and that'll be $10 billion in taxes that I could return to the people in the worst economic cataclysm of our lifetime. Now, that's what a responsible governor would start looking at. But Democrats never cut government. They never cut taxes. They are only going to look for ways to tax us more, like the Marxists on the Seattle City Council who want to impose a business tax on the 700 largest employers right now so they can give $500 a month checks to illegals, among others. But hey, if you're unemployed, Jay Inslee has $3.50 for you. That's your share of what he's come up with. Well done, Governor. I'd say our federal government is doing... literally. And let me just ask, even for all the Trump haters, would you acknowledge that at least when it comes to our economy, that the federal government, in a bipartisan way, you know, Democrats and Republicans came together for that. Will you at least acknowledge the federal government is doing literally billions times more for the unemployed and the business owners than is Jay Inslee? Would you at least grant that? Because that's an absolute data-supported fact. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, I got something really fun for you. In fact, in the next couple of minutes, go watch a video that I've linked up on Twitter, at Dori Monson, D-O-R-I-M-O-N-S-O-N. It's a family in Maple Valley that did an unbelievable shot-by-shot recreation of an 80s Journey music video. And Why am I doing visual stuff on the radio? Because it's also a great example of how families are making unbelievable fun to ride out this stay at home together. It's really cool. So go check it out on Twitter, and I'm going to talk to the dad next here on the Dory Monson Show. This is the 80s classic by Journey, Separate Ways. Back when Journey was one of the bands that just dominated MTV, and back when MTV played music videos, it was just an art form unto itself. And some of them were pretty elaborate, and this Journey one was really elaborate. Lots of edits. But what's even more elaborate, a listener sent me a video that a family in Maple Valley did that is a shot-by-shot recreation of that Journey video. I have it up on my Twitter if you go to at Dory Monson, DoriMonson. And the dad in this Maple Valley family is Steve Heller, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Steve, it's good to talk to you.
Hey, Dory, thanks for having me.
Well, I cannot get enough of this video, and since it's visual, people are wondering why I'm having you on the radio, but I just think, you know, when we're all quarantined at home, we can either, you know, do the time and or we can make the most of the time, and it looked like your family was having a blast doing this.
You know, it was so much fun. I was sitting here in my office, and I get a text from my wife, who is in the, you know, the bedroom just next door, and she's like, "We need to remake a music video." And I thought, that sounds like a lot of work. And she found, I don't know what made her, you know, she loves Journey, and so I'm sure that's why she started there. She's like, "This is the one. We need to do this." And so on Saturday, we just took all day, and, you know, my kids, I didn't think they were going to be into it. I thought, oh, Dad, mom and Dad, you're dorks. But especially my oldest daughter, she's almost 16, but she got so into it, and we broke it apart shot by shot. They were going through their closets trying to find what they can wear, and it was definitely a team effort to bring that thing together.
Wait, you shot and edited that in one day?
So the edit, we shot it all on a Saturday, and the edit was 3, 4, 5 hours, something like that, on the very next day on Sunday.
Okay, yeah, so your daughter's almost 16. How old are your two boys?
So my two sons are 14 and 12, and then our youngest daughter, who is definitely the attitude of the family. I don't know if that's the right word, but she's nine. She really, she's practicing the walk.
I was confused because I didn't think that looked like a 16-year-old when you mentioned your daughter.
No.
So, okay. She's a 9-year-old. Okay. Let me say,
girls.
For a 9-year-old girl, I don't know how she captured that 80s rock chick vibe as fantastically as your daughter just did.
I think she was born with it. She has it all the time.
Oh, man. So in the production, there's even like a 1 or 2 second part of the Journey video where a car goes by. And you even recreated that. I mean, the attention to detail, Steve, was just mind-blowing to me.
First of all, I'm so excited that you noticed, because, I mean, we really did take pains to, like, even there was definitely some mistakes, but hand movements and the way heads turn, we tried to really get it beat for beat, and I think for the most part we got it.
Oh, no, it's I mean, I said on Twitter, this is the best thing I've seen today. This is the best thing I've seen this year, and maybe it's the best thing I've seen in more than that, just because of, I mean, I'm watching it on silent as you and I are speaking here. Do you know how many edits are in that video? Did you count?
Oh, that's funny. I did not count. It's a lot, though. I should go back and count. I would say, oh man, it's got to be close to 100, but maybe less. But it's a lot.
I bet it's 100. I bet. I was going to count before I talked to you today, but I got too busy this morning to watch it yet again. But here's the other thing. What a fun way, when I hear so many people complaining about, oh, I'm quarantined at home and I'm starting to get bored. And I'm thinking, what an absolutely, I mean, you've created something you are going to laugh about for the rest of your life, for the rest of your kids' lives when they have kids. It's just, what a timeless thing you created.
No, absolutely. We kept saying that day while we were shooting, like, we're going to be remembering, you know, we're going to be talking about this for years. And we've talked about it during this whole quarantine. We talk about it with our kids a lot. Like, we're kind of living through history. There's very few moments of my life that I can look back and, you know, there's a couple of them that I will always remember where I was and what I was doing. And I think we're kind of living in those times right now. And I want to have good memories when I think back on it. So I figured that's up to us to make them.
I saw Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't know if you heard, but on my show last week, I played a clip. Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband were talking to some relationship expert and posting it online. And one of the questions was, they don't know what to do with their teenagers in the house. And I thought, how pathetic. Instead of just being a parent and having a blast like your family did last weekend and all of that. I mean, that's the way families should be and you know, have a shared sense of humor and not think that, like you said at the beginning, that dad and mom are just a pair of dorks.
Well, we're pretty fortunate. For some reason, our kids still think we're cool. I don't think they don't know yet that we're not, but they think we are. And and no, I mean, we've kind of made a choice that, you know, life is what you make it. And life can be miserable. Life can be fun. And you know, circumstances, there's certain circumstances we can't control, but we'll try to focus on the things we can control as best as we can.
By the way, did you paint that black tank top yourself to make it look like Steve Perry's?
I spray painted that about a half hour before we started shooting. It's still wet.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's just awesome. I wanted to talk to you because this is how we should be riding out this storm together. I mean, I can think of you. And when Nicole called you, I didn't realize we had another connection, you and me.
Oh, yeah. I'm the IT director for Valentine Roofing, and I know we have a relationship with Cairo, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, Connor Valentine's my buddy, and he texted me this morning when he heard you were going to be coming on, and yeah, they're awesome, and I had no idea that you worked for Connor and for Valentine, so yeah. That's bonus value added for me, because I love those guys.
Me too. I love Connor. He's a great guy, and I love working there.
Amen. All right. Well, nice job, and please tell everybody in your family. By the way, does anyone in your family actually play an instrument?
Yeah. So my son, who played keyboards, he plays piano a bit and a little bit of drums, and then my daughter, who is the guitarist, plays guitar, and my son, who is the bass player, he plays clarinet and a little piano.
Nice.
As well. So yeah, everyone plays a little bit.
Well, it just couldn't have been more fun. It couldn't possibly have turned out better. Please give everybody in your family my very best, Dave.
I will. Thank you so much, Dory. I appreciate the call.
Okay, great talking with you. Steve Heller down in Maple Valley. If you want to see the video, you got to go to my Twitter, at Dory Monson, DoriMonson, and it links. And it's side by side. They have the video that they created side by side, shot by shot, with the Journey video, and it's fantastic. But like I said, it's visual. This is radio. I wanted to talk about how the right attitude to go through this quarantine is right there. That's what we just heard. Okay, lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Bernie Sanders out in the Democratic presidential primary. So it's all Joe Biden's. And of course, Elizabeth Warren, if she hadn't continued her impossible ego run, Bernie would have won a bunch of the early states and he'd still be very much alive. But Elizabeth Warren and, you know, the party hates Bernie. He was too radical, even for the Democratic Party, for crying out loud. Stock market, once the socialist was removed as any possibility at all, the stock market's up more than 800 points, about 8 minutes before the close. And then there's poor Joe, man. Yesterday, Donald Trump was very gracious. He said he had a real nice phone call with Joe Biden.
I also spoke just a few minutes ago with former Vice President Biden, who called, and we had a really wonderful, warm conversation. It was a very nice conversation. We talked about pretty much this. This is what we talked about. This is what everyone's talking about. This is what they want to talk about. And he gave me his point of view, and I fully understood that. And we just had a very friendly conversation.
Yeah, it's very nice. But Joe Biden, he was on a morning show today, and poor guy. He just can't keep anything straight.
And I laid out the five things I thought he should be doing. He asked my views. I gave him four things I thought were of urgent need.
Four or five. I'm sure Joe could handle a crisis, couldn't he? Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then the Fast 15 is coming up next.